Welcome to the Core Principles Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you'll enjoy this lively discussion of relevant topics, which we attempt to examine through the lens of unchanging, objective truth. Here's the host of the Core Principles Podcast, Clay Howerton.
Thank you, Suzanne. Today on Core Principles, we're going to talk about the federal government and state governments and the balance of power between them. This matters because we have states that are run quite differently, one from another, and we have freedom of movement between the several states, so that a person who doesn't like the way things are done in one state might find a better fit in another one. But even as different states, doing things differently, we are the United States. And of course, for many of us, we see the way things are run in the national capital in Washington, D.C., and we disapprove. And the idea of moving to a different country may be unappealing. So, if we want to fix what is broken in Washington, D.C., it would be helpful to arm ourselves with knowledge of the way the federal government is supposed to act and how they are not supposed to act. Let's start at the end of the Constitution plus the Bill of Rights as ratified. Quote, Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. End quote. That is so powerful and so important. Anything the federal government is not authorized by the Constitution to do, it is forbidden to do. Another word for delegated in that 10th Amendment is enumerated. Constitutional scholars and we citizens, if we take appropriate interest, may refer to the legitimate, strictly limited powers of the federal government as enumerated powers. Enumerated powers are the particular powers granted to Congress, those which are specifically listed in the United States Constitution. Depending on whether you count the summary power to make necessary laws to employ the enumerated powers, there are 16 or 17 such enumerated powers. Article 1, Section 8 lists the first 14 powers enumerated to or permissible for the federal government, plus the summary lawmaking power that I mentioned. Articles 2 through 7 do not add additional powers, but they define how to apply the powers enumerated in Article 1. For example, Article 2 identifies the president as the commander-in-chief over the military, but that's not a new power since the preamble already authorized the federal government to provide for the common defense. Likewise, the president's Article 2 authority to make treaties and appoint ambassadors is part of the Article 1 provision to regulate commerce with foreign nations. The 13th and 14th Amendments to the Constitution added two extra federal powers, but the other amendments to the Constitution added no federal powers. And importantly, every other power or authority is prohibited to the federal government and resides only with the states or the people. We can have a chance for liberty if we take this opportunity for self-governance seriously. And that means governing ourselves in accordance with the only ultimate authority, the Creator, Almighty God. And we can have equality if and only if we all recognize and acknowledge that the Creator is also the lawgiver whose laws apply equally to all. So let's look at the enumerated powers given to the federal government in the Constitution of the United States. The first one, the federal government has the power to raise revenue, to pay off debt, to protect the nation, and to fulfill the specific obligations established within the enumerated powers. In the Constitution, that is stated this way, quote, to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, end quote. Obviously, the federal government abuses this power and squanders the revenue not for paying off debt or protecting this nation, but when Democrats have their way, the tax revenue is used to bribe citizens whom they've enslaved into a condition of dependence. Hear this important core principle. Independence from government is a prerequisite for liberty. And note the use of the word general. Provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. That word is, of course, important. The opposite of general is specific. The opposite of what the government is supposed to do is to provide any specific welfare. Again, independence from government is a prerequisite for liberty. The perpetuation of specific welfare programs to give individuals needful things is erosion of liberty and a path to tyranny, and is forbidden by the Constitution of the United States. Now, that first enumerated power mentioned paying off our debts, so it stands to reason the federal government has the power to borrow money. That is, in fact, the second enumerated power stated in the Constitution this way, quote, borrow money on the credit of the United States, end quote. And because, unfortunately, leftists do exist, the debt those evildoers have compiled is well over $30 trillion. Democrats and leftists hate America and would have us dependent on other nations. The third enumerated power is stated in the Constitution this way, quote, to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes, end quote. This is to protect the free enterprise system and our capitalist model of economic endeavor. The fourth enumerated power is about establishing immigration laws and processes because you cannot have a nation with open borders. The Constitution says it this way, quote, to establish a uniform rule of naturalization, end quote. The open borders crowd, namely Democrats, are obviously enemies of the United States, guilty of capital treason. And by the way, we're going to get to the 14th Amendment later, because it and its predecessor, the 13th Amendment, established the final two current enumerated powers. But it is worth noting something vital about the 14th Amendment right now. Have you ever heard of an anchor baby, referring to a child born within our borders to a mother who is illegally in our country? I want you to understand there is no such thing as an anchor baby. Such children are not legal citizens of the United States. But Clay, I hear somebody start, being born in America makes one an American. Listen carefully. There is an additional requirement. Here's what the relevant portion of the 14th Amendment says, quote, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state where they reside, end quote. So that says, in part, that anyone born in the U.S. is a citizen of the U.S., doesn't it? Well, actually, the entire sentence is meaningful. Remember, the authors of the Constitution and its amendments chose each word with care. Notice the first use of the conjunction and in that sentence. Born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. That explicitly means that merely being born here is not enough to be a citizen. There is an additional requirement. The and points to the additional requirement. And subject to the jurisdiction thereof. That explicitly excludes persons here illegally. The fifth enumerated power lets the federal government establish the bankruptcy laws and processes. Quote, and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States, end quote. The sixth enumerated power lets the federal government establish national currency and monitor its supply and value and punish counterfeiters of that currency, quote, to coin money, regulate the value thereof and of foreign coin, and fix the standards of weights and measures and provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States, end quote. The seventh enumerated power is to, quote, establish post offices and post roads, end quote. The eighth enumerated power of the federal government is, quote, to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries, end quote. This is to protect private property, including ideas and the products of those ideas, of inventors and authors and so forth. Protecting private property rights is one of the very limited legitimate roles of the federal government. And this is consistent with the principle that socialism and all other leftist government schemes are absolutely forbidden in America because all leftism is tyranny. Every leftist is an enemy of the United States. The ninth enumerated power of the federal government is, quote, to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. Thus, we have the federal court system. The tenth enumerated power of the federal government is to, quote, define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the laws of nations, end quote. This new nation, the United States, was joining all the other nations of the world as a fully functioning and equal member of such. The 11th power of the federal government is an obvious, if unfortunate, necessity to specify, quote, declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water, end quote. And along with the power to declare war, the next enumerated power, the 12th, gives the federal government the ability, quote, to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years, to provide and maintain a navy, to make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces, end quote. Note that this power has been logically applied to include air and space, which were not contemplated in the 1700s as potential battlefields. The Air Force did not start out as the Air Force, but as the Army Air Corps. Also note that the 2-year limit on military appropriations is still taken seriously, but the federal government has found a way around it. You remember when Barack Obama was president and Harry Reid was Senate Majority Leader. Although it was a requirement, Obama didn't get a budget passed. Obama and Reid are so worthless and so anti-American that they didn't care about such requirements. The Department of Defense couldn't violate the 2-year appropriation limit, but the federal government kept the money flowing via what they called continuing resolution authority. If it sounds made up, it is. Electing unserious and un-American people like Obama and his even more worthless sock puppet Biden is horrifically harmful to this nation. We need a voter aptitude test. The 13th enumerated power of the federal government is to call forth and train state militias for national needs. Quote, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections and repel invasions, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states, respectively, the appointment of the officers, and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress, end quote. Note that this is also a congressional power, not a presidential power. A principle called posse comitatus prohibits the president from doing this. That restriction is why President Trump only asked Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Mark Milley to deploy 10,000 National Guard on the 6th of January 2021 to prevent any possible unrest, rather than ordering that deployment. By the way, the outrageously evil January 6th Commission with Nancy Pelosi and Liz Cheney hid the proof that exonerated President Trump completely. It is documented but hidden, and Liz Cheney still, to this day, maintains that what Secretary Miller said is the opposite of what Secretary Miller said. The mayor of D.C., in coordination with Nancy Pelosi, refused to have such security presence as President Trump wanted because Pelosi and Bowser and the other leftists wanted the false flag that has since been turned into a ridiculous weapon against pro-Americans. Anti-American Democrats are escalating their war against America. The 14th enumerated power of the federal government is to oversee and manage all federal property, including Washington, D.C., as well as bases, federal buildings, and so forth. Quote, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may, by session of particular states and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings, end quote. And that was basically it at the founding of this nation. The 15th enumerated power is basically a summary, and the additional two powers came from the 13th and 14th Amendments. Here's the 15th enumerated power, quote, to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers. End quote. And then the 13th Amendment brought to the federal government the additional enumerated power to prevent slavery. And I remind you, if you're not a listener of previous episodes of Core Principles, America is, from its founding, the most anti-slavery nation in the history of humanity. And finally, the 14th Amendment added the enumerated power to prevent states from violating individual constitutional freedoms and inalienable rights secured to every individual in the federal Constitution. And that is it. Every other thing the federal government does is wrong. It's forbidden by the United States Constitution. They are not authorized to do other things, and they are, in fact, explicitly forbidden to do other things. Remember the critically important 10th Amendment. Quote, the powers not delegated to the United States by this Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states, respectively, or to the people, end quote. Now, to remind us all how vital these core principles are, I'm going to refer to Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, the chief architects of our Constitution and Bill of Rights. Jefferson wrote, on the 15th of February, 1791, in a document he called Opinion Against the Constitutionality of a National Bank, quote, I consider the foundation of the Constitution as laid on this ground, that all powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states or to the people, to take a single step beyond the boundaries thus specifically drawn around the powers of Congress is to take possession of a boundless field of power, no longer susceptible to any definition, end quote. So we should know as citizens the federal government must be strictly limited, and something like the Federal Reserve Bank is unconstitutional, according to Thomas Jefferson, who ought to know. And Jefferson had written to Madison on the 20th of December, 1787, amplifying the necessity of keeping the federal government in check. Quote, "I am not a friend to a very energetic government. It is always oppressive," end quote. And by energetic, of course, he meant activists involved. That's why they wanted the strict limits and said, this far and no farther, federal government, anything that we don't say you can and must do, we say you cannot do. You are forbidden. If President Jefferson were running for office today, his rallying cry would be, drain the swamp. Guaranteed. Now let's consider what James Madison said in Congress on the 6th of February, 1792. This is recorded in the Debates and Proceedings in the Congress of the United States. Quote, and this is a warning, by the way. Quote, "If Congress can apply money indefinitely to the general welfare and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare, they may take the care of religion into their own hands. They may establish teachers in every state, county, and parish, and pay them out of the public treasury. They may take into their own hands the education of children, establishing in like manner schools throughout the Union. They may undertake the regulation of all roads other than post roads. In short, everything from the highest object of state legislation down to the most minute object of police would be thrown under the power of Congress. For every object I've mentioned would admit the application of money and might be called, if Congress pleased, provisions for the general welfare," end quote. Chief architect of the United States Constitution, James Madison, warned all of us that the general welfare must never, ever, ever be allowed to apply to any specific welfare and must never allow them to exceed the clear bounds of the Constitution and the enumerated powers. He warned specifically against a state-run religion like the Church of England. He warned specifically against public schools with any government involvement, especially federal government involvement. He warned against all the kinds of things that big government swamp rats have been pushing on us for years now. We Americans must get government back under control. This was the land of liberty because of our experiment in self-governing and our reliance on God as the creator, the lawgiver, and the source of all our rights. Have a blessed day.
Core Principles Podcast is produced in Paducah, Kentucky by Real Productions. Music is by Late July, L-E-I-G-H-T July. You can find our music on all streaming services or at latejuly.com. Thank you for joining us today for this episode of the Core Principles Podcast. Please visit core.buzzsprout.com for more information. And please share with your friends. We look forward to visiting with you again on our next episode.